At its August 14, 2025 meeting, the Bullock County Board of Education focused heavily on long-term financial stability, approving the ESPLOS-TV resolution for the November ballot while also weighing millage rate options to address a projected budget deficit. The board also approved major school nutrition equipment purchases, declared surplus buses, adopted several policy updates to comply with new state laws, and finalized personnel changes for the start of the school year. Much of the meeting was devoted to Superintendent Charles Wilson's presentation on the district's financial position and capital funding needs. Wilson opened by addressing what he described as common misconceptions about Bullock County schools' finances. He noted that the district operates roughly a third more schools per student than nearby Bryan and Effingham counties, a choice that keeps class sizes smaller and maintains neighborhood-based campuses but results in per-pupil costs about 14% higher. Wilson reviewed the district's $46 million fund balance, which represents about 3.5 months of operating expenses, calling it essential for emergencies and cash flow but not a sustainable solution to recurring shortfalls. In recent years, federal COVID relief funds had been used to preserve services, strengthen reserves, and keep the millage rate low without a tax increase. With those funds now exhausted and operational costs continuing to climb, the district faces a significant deficit in fiscal year 2027 unless adjustments are made. Three options for the FY 2026 millage rate were presented. Raising the rate to 10.400 mils, Wilson's recommended option, which would avoid $15 million in staff reductions but still require $3.5 million in cuts. Rolling back to 7.446 mils, which would necessitate a $15 million reduction in force in FY 2027. Making no changes. The millage rate discussion was closely linked to ESPLOS-TV, which Wilson described as essential to funding the first phase of the district's facilities plan. The proposed five-year sales tax extension, set for a November 4, 2025 vote, is expected to raise up to $175 million and authorize $120 million in bonds for immediate project funding. Phase 1 priorities include construction of a new Southeast Bullock High School, mobile classrooms to address enrollment growth, technology infrastructure upgrades, curriculum materials, bus fleet replacements, and critical repairs and renovations. If collections exceed projections, additional projects, such as new K-8 schools, a multi-purpose room at Statesboro High, and a gym at Portal Middle High, would be considered. Following Wilson's report, the board voted unanimously to approve the ESPLOS-TV resolution, formally placing it on the November ballot. Other items approved included a $141,000 bid for large school nutrition equipment purchases, the surplus declaration of several school buses, and updates to multiple board policies. These policy actions included revisions to the Parents' Bill of Rights to reflect new requirements under House Bill 268, adoption of updated transfer and withdrawal procedures to enhance student safety protocols, and revisions to credit awarding policies for transfer students from non-accredited or international schools to provide more flexibility and reduce redundancy in assessments. After an executive session, the board approved personnel recommendations that included new teacher hires, paraprofessional appointments, and several voluntary separations effective between late June and early August. Continue reading for full meeting coverage. Click here to view the full agenda. Click here to view the live stream of the meeting. A. Call to order. B. Moment of silence, pledge of allegiance. C. Amend, adopt the agenda. D. Board member comments. Several board members offered brief remarks before moving into the agenda's main items. District 4 board member Donna Clifton expressed her appreciation for the entire team, congratulating staff and students on successfully completing the first 10 days of the new school year. She also remarked on the approaching tropical weather, adding that she hoped the storm would not make landfall so the district could enjoy 30 uninterrupted days of school. Board member Jay Cook expressed enthusiasm for the upcoming football game, while Glenera Martin commended administrators for their work during the busy start of the school year. E. Public participation. No members of the public participated. F. Superintendent's report. Superintendent Charles Wilson devoted the bulk of his report to what he described as clearing up misconceptions about the school district's financial position and explaining the critical link between long-term funding stability, the millage rate decision for fiscal year 2026, and the upcoming ESPLOSTV referendum. He began by placing Bullock County Schools' operating model in context. Compared to nearby Bryan and Effingham counties, Bullock operates roughly one-third more schools per student. This approach, he explained, keeps class sizes smaller and preserves neighborhood-based campuses, but it also drives a higher cost per pupil, about 14% more than regional peers. Those higher costs, combined with rising expenses and the end of federal COVID relief funds, mean the district is now facing structural budget challenges. Wilson reviewed the district's current fund balance, which stands at approximately $46 million, enough to cover about 3.5 months of operating expenses. These reserves, he stressed, are vital for cash flow stability and emergencies, not as a long-term fix for recurring deficits. He reminded the board that federal relief dollars had been used in recent years to maintain services, bolster reserves, and keep the property tax millage rate low without increases. With those funds now exhausted, the district will have to either raise new revenue, make deep spending cuts, or a combination of both. Millage rate scenarios. Wilson outlined three options for the FY 2026 millage rate. Increase to 10.400 mils, his recommended option, which would avoid a $15 million staff reduction in FY 2027 but still require $3.5 million in cuts. Roll back to 7.446 mils, which would trigger a $15 million reduction in force, RIF, in FY 2027. Make no change, which he deemed financially irresponsible given the projected shortfall. Slides presented during the meeting showed that raising the millage to 10.400 would still leave the district below the statewide average for similar-sized school systems and would bring in enough revenue to preserve instructional positions while making smaller, targeted cuts. Several board members questioned how quickly RIF notifications would need to go out if deeper cuts became unavoidable. Wilson explained that if the district rolled back the millage, RIF letters would likely be issued as early as January to meet contractual timelines for teacher notifications. His preference, he said, was to raise the millage now to avoid destabilizing classrooms later. Link to ESPLOSTV resolution. Wilson tied the millage discussion directly to the ESPLOSTV referendum, calling the 5-year sales tax extension essential to launching the first phase of the district's long-term facilities plan. The measure, scheduled for a November 4, 2025 public vote, is projected to generate up to $175 million, with authorization to issue up to $120 million in bonds for immediate funding. Phase 1 priorities under ESPLOSTV include construction of a new Southeast Bullock High School to relieve overcrowding and expand career academy programs. Purchase of mobile classrooms to accommodate enrollment growth. Replacement of aging school buses. Technology upgrades across all schools. Facility repairs and renovations. Wilson walked the board through the ESPLOSTV resolutions project list, explaining that if revenues exceed core project needs, additional priorities, such as a new K-8 school in Statesboro, a multipurpose room at Statesboro High and a gym at Portal Middle High, would be considered. He stressed that without ESPLOSTV's approval, the district would likely face delays or scaling back of major capital projects, exacerbating overcrowding and maintenance backlogs. Board questions and concerns. The discussion drew multiple board member comments and clarifications. Jennifer Mock inquired about budget flexibility if state revenues dropped unexpectedly, while Lanny Lanier asked about the projected lifespan of the district's fund balance under each millage scenario. Glenera Martin sought clarification on whether the $46 million fund balance could be used to avoid a millage increase. Wilson reiterated that doing so would deplete reserves to unsafe levels and risk the district's financial stability. Wilson also noted that the district had already identified non-classroom cuts for consideration, with a focus on reducing district-level support costs before impacting teacher positions. He added that the district would continue to look for ways to protect classroom instruction and the Transitions Learning Center while still meeting the budget reduction targets. In closing, Wilson reminded the board and public that both decisions, the FY 2026 millage rate and the ESPLOSTV referendum, are pivotal to maintaining quality programs, protecting class sizes and meeting the community's facility needs over the next decade. G. Consent Agenda. 1. Board Minutes. 2. Financial Report. 3. Board Member Payroll. H. Old Business for Approval. 1. Approved, Board Policy JRB, Parents' Bill of Rights. The Board approved revisions to Board Policy JRB, Parents' Bill of Rights to bring the policy into compliance with the recently enacted House Bill 268, which affirms and expands parental rights in education. The updated policy continues to promote strong parental involvement across all district schools and now includes two key additions. Section F affirms a parent's right to review their child's education records and request that those records be transferred to another school or an authorized individual or organization. This addition is intended to make school transitions smoother for families and increase transparency in student record management. Section G establishes procedures for the timely transfer of student records between schools in accordance with OCGA sections the 20th of February 667 and the 20th of February 670. This ensures that instructional continuity is maintained and delays are minimized when students change schools or prepare to enroll elsewhere. The policy also reiterates a parent's rights to review instructional materials and their child's course of study, object to instructional content, withdraw a child from sex education courses, restrict the use of their child's photographs, videos, or voice recordings, except in certain public safety or security circumstances. These updates further solidify the district's commitment to transparency, parental engagement, and compliance with both state law and federal regulations such as FERPA, while also setting clear, accessible procedures for exercising these rights. 2. Approved, Board Policy JBCD, Transfers and Withdrawals. The Board approved the adoption of a new Board Policy JBCD, Transfers and Withdrawals, developed in response to recent state legislation aimed at strengthening student safety protocols. This policy implements requirements from House Bill 268, known as Ricky and Alyssa's Law, passed by the Georgia General Assembly after the tragic events at Appalachia High School. Under the new policy, the district must obtain critical records from every school a student has attended in the 24 months before enrollment. These records, defined in state law, must be received within specific timelines to ensure school officials have complete disciplinary and safety histories before placement decisions are made. If records are not promptly received, the policy authorizes temporary remote learning or case management consultations until the process is complete. The policy also expands mandatory disclosures for students entering grades above third grade. Parents or legal custodians must now inform the receiving school whether the student has ever been adjudicated for certain felony offenses, is currently under suspension or expulsion, is awaiting a disciplinary hearing, or has been the subject of criminal reports or behavioral correction plans. Previously, these requirements applied only to students entering grade 7 or higher. Additional provisions outline procedures for promptly transferring education records, including mandatory release within 3 business days of a request, parental notification and rights to review records and coordination when a child is placed in a new home or facility by a state agency. The withdrawal section sets conditions for removing students from enrollment, including safeguards for minors, students in homebound programs and cases where extended absences might indicate educational neglect. The board's approval ensures Bullock County schools will be in full compliance with the new state mandates, aligning local procedures with enhanced statewide safety and record-sharing standards. 3. Approved, Board Policy JBC, 4, Awarding Units and Transferring Credit. The Board approved revisions to Board Policy JBC, 4, Awarding Units and Transferring Credit. This policy outlines how Bullitt County Schools awards high school credits and accepts transfer grades, with specific criteria for students coming from accredited schools, non-accredited institutions, home study programs, and international schools. The update focuses on the process for validating credits from non-accredited schools, particularly courses in grades 9 to 12 that do not require a Georgia end-of-course, EOC, assessment. Previously, the district allowed validation either through a review of curriculum, student work and grades, or by requiring a school-created final exam for students without such documentation. The revised policy retains the curriculum and work review method but modifies the second option. Instead of mandating the creation of a new final exam, schools can now use existing assessments or other available performance data to validate credits. District leaders said this change will reduce redundancy for students who have already demonstrated proficiency, increase flexibility in recognizing learning from international and other non-traditional programs, protect instructional time, and better support student transitions into the district. The update aims to honor students' prior work while maintaining the rigor and integrity of graduation requirements. I. New business for approval. 1. Approved, ESPLOSTV resolution. The Board unanimously approved a resolution calling for the continuation of Bullitt County's 1% sales and use tax for educational purposes, ESPLOST, after the current ESPLOSTV expires in 2028. The measure, known as ESPLOSTV, will appear on the November 4, 2025 ballot for voter consideration. If approved by a majority of voters, the sales tax would be collected for up to 5 additional years, generating an estimated $175 million in revenue. The resolution also authorizes issuing up to $120 million in general obligation bonds to fund major capital projects immediately, with the bonds to be repaid from ESPLOST proceeds. The ESPLOSTV project list prioritizes construction and equipping of a new Southeast Bullock High School, along with retrofitting and reconfiguring feeder schools for new grade structures. Acquisition of mobile classrooms and support facilities to address enrollment growth. Upgrades to technology infrastructure, curriculum materials, and instructional software. New school nutrition equipment. Renovations, repairs, additions, and improvements to existing schools and support facilities. Replacement of school buses and vehicles for transportation and maintenance. Purchase of furniture and equipment for classrooms and offices. Acquisition of land and other property for future facilities. If sales tax collections exceed core project costs, the district may also pursue 2 new pre-K-8 school facilities. A new multi-purpose facility at Statesboro High School. A new gymnasium at Portal Middle High School. The resolution also specifies that any unused ESPLOST funds after project completion must be applied toward paying down district debt or reducing the millage rate. With board approval secured, the resolution will now go to the Bullock County Board of Elections to formally call the November referendum and publish the legally required notices. The last day to register to vote in the ESPLOSTV election is October 6, 2025. 2. Approved, FY26 School Nutrition Large Equipment Bid Selection. The Board approved the purchase of new large-scale kitchen equipment for multiple school sites in the district, awarding the FY26 School Nutrition Large Equipment Bid to Boulder for a total of $141,034.24, with an additional 10% contingency, $14,103.42, for unforeseen installation needs, bringing the total authorization to $155,137.66. Funding will come from ESPLOSTIV revenues. The competitive bid process evaluated vendors on specification compliance, Georgia-based business status, pricing, and prior positive business relationships. Bolter earned the highest possible score, 100 points, outperforming other bidders in every evaluation category, including full compliance with bid specifications, competitive pricing, and a proven track record of reliability. Equipment to be purchased includes double convection ovens, 2 units, for Langston Chapel Middle, combi ovens, 2 units, for Brooklet Elementary and Southeast Bullock High, double door refrigerators, 3 units, for Southeast Bullock Middle, William James Middle and Portal Middle High, single door refrigerated pass-through, 1 unit, for Portal Elementary, tilting skillet, 1 unit, for Mill Creek Elementary, mobile heated cabinet, 1 unit, for Stilson Elementary. Bolter's winning bid came in $50,000 lower than the next closest fully compliant competitor, offering what district officials described as excellent value given the vendor's service reputation and local presence. The district emphasized that working with a Georgia-based company improves service responsiveness and ensures familiarity with local operational needs. The board's approval ensures that the district's school kitchens will have upgraded, energy-efficient equipment to improve food preparation, safety, and service speed across multiple campuses. 3. Approved, CTAE, Perkins Allocation Approval. The board approved the fiscal year 2026 Carl D. Perkins Federal Grant Plan, which provides $162,185 in federal funding to strengthen Bullock County Schools' career, technical and agricultural education, CTAE, programs. These funds, awarded annually through the Perkins legislation, are intended to improve and expand career education opportunities, enhance student academic and technical performance, and prepare students for high-skill, high-wage, and in-demand careers. The FY26 allocation will be distributed as follows. $131,888 basic program improvement allocation, covering allowable expenditures such as equipment purchases, technology upgrades, software and instructional materials for CTAE classrooms and labs across the district. $12,090 professional development allocation, funding advisor expenses for regional, state and national career technical student organization, CTSO, competitions, CTSO advisor trainings and other professional learning opportunities for CTAE teachers. $18,207 Perkins plus Federal Reserve allocation, supporting end-of-pathway assessments, EOPA, and student preparation resources, including study guides, testing fees, and industry-recognized certification exams. Bethany Gilliam, CTAE Director, noted that local funds will continue to complement these grants by supporting supplies, textbooks, software licenses, equipment repairs and maintenance, substitute coverage for teachers attending professional development, competition travel, and career-focused student field trips. The FY26 Perkins plan also supports instructional updates and program expansions, including new pathway, baking and pastry at Statesboro High School, utilizing an existing teacher, expanded pathway, allied health at Southeast Bullock High School, adding one teacher, paused pathways, automotive and cybersecurity at Southeast Bullock High School. Planned purchases under this year's grant include business software for all 3 high schools, agriculture experience tracking systems, new and replacement equipment for labs and instructional materials aligned with industry certifications. Gilliam emphasized that these funds are essential to fulfilling the department's mission of preparing students for successful careers and contributing to an educated, skilled, and efficient local workforce. The board unanimously approved the acceptance and use of these funds, ensuring continued support for Bullock County's career and technical education initiatives in the 2025-2026 school year. 4. Approved, bus surplus approval. The board approved the Transportation Department's request to surplus 3 aging school buses from the district's fleet due to significant mechanical issues and high mileage. Transportation Director Chad Ivester outlined in a memo to Superintendent Charles Wilson that the buses, all model years 2007 or 2008, are no longer cost-effective to repair. Bus 072, 2007, 224,923 miles, transmission failure, not operational. Bus 073, 2007, 225,239 miles, major engine problems. Bus 082, 2008, 170,395 miles, instrument panel and electrical malfunctions. Rather than selling the units through public auction, the district arranged to sell all three buses directly to Georgia Southern University for $2,500 each, totaling $7,500 in revenue. Ivester explained that this arrangement provides a straightforward disposition of the equipment while ensuring the buses will be repurposed rather than scrapped. The surplus approval reflects the district's ongoing fleet management strategy, which prioritizes the retirement of older vehicles with high maintenance costs and replacement with newer, more reliable buses to ensure student transportation safety and efficiency. J. New business to be placed on the table. 1. Approved, Board Policy GAEB, Sexual Harassment of Employees. The board approved placing the revised Board Policy GAEB, Sexual Harassment of Employees, on the table for consideration, adopting changes recommended by the Georgia School Boards Association to ensure compliance with updated federal and state legal standards, including Title IX requirements. The updated policy continues to strictly prohibit sexual harassment and sex discrimination against employees in all school system environments, whether occurring on district property, at school-sponsored activities, or in work-related off-site settings. It defines prohibited conduct broadly to include unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, and any verbal, nonverbal, or physical conduct of a sexual nature that interferes with an employee's work performance or creates an intimidating, hostile, or offensive work environment. In alignment with Title IX, the policy outlines a clear and structured grievance process that includes multiple channels for reporting incidents, including direct reports to supervisors, principals, or the district's Title IX coordinator. A commitment to prompt, thorough, and impartial investigations. Supportive measures for complainants, such as schedule adjustments, counseling referrals, and work environment modifications, whether or not a formal complaint is filed. Confidentiality protections, to the extent allowed by law, for all parties involved. Strict prohibitions against retaliation toward individuals who report harassment, participate in an investigation, or otherwise exercise their rights under the policy. The revisions also strengthen language regarding the district's responsibility to train staff on recognizing and preventing sexual harassment, maintain records of complaints and resolutions, and take corrective action when violations are substantiated. These updates ensure the policy reflects both federal Title IX procedural requirements and best practice guidance from the Georgia School Boards Association. By approving this update, the board reaffirmed its commitment to maintaining a safe, respectful, and equitable workplace for all employees while meeting its legal obligations under federal and state law. K. Executive Session. L. Return to Open Session. M. Personnel Recommendations. 1. Approved, Personnel Recommendations for August 14, 2025. He board approved a series of personnel actions for the 2025-2026 school year, including voluntary and involuntary separations, new hires and appointments pending background checks. Voluntary separations included Donna Bennett, bus driver, effective July 10, 2025. Alma Campbell, autism paraprofessional, effective July 23, 2025. Nicholas Earls, teacher, effective June 30, 2025. Jules Lewis, HVAC technician, effective July 25, 2025. Vinia Marshall, paraprofessional, effective July 22, 2025. Kawanika McBride, math teacher, effective July 22, 2025. Demetrius McCray, paraprofessional, effective July 31, 2025. Involuntary separation. Pamela Darien, custodian, effective August 6, 2025. New appointments. Effective August 15, 2025, unless otherwise noted. Brandon Boatwright, autism paraprofessional, replacing Claire Bufford 190 workdays. Kira Elveen, autism paraprofessional, replacing Alma Campbell 190 workdays. Cassandra Harden, custodian, replacing Gwendolyn Jackson 190 workdays. Atia Kirkland, bus driver, replacing Reuben Bufford 180 workdays. Nathan Luft, sped teacher, replacing Lauren Gardner 190 workdays, current employee. Landry Neal, speech-language pathologist, replacing Lindsay Lee 190 workdays. Stephanie Rushing, ELA teacher, replacing Ashley Jones 190 workdays. Patricia Vickery, 49% teacher, replacing Kelly Dickerson 190 workdays, effective August 18, 2025. Anitra Yates, dedicated paraprofessional, new position, 190 workdays. Pending background check. Cheryl Cron, custodian, replacing Devonna Patton 190 workdays. The personnel changes reflect ongoing efforts to fill critical instructional and support roles ahead of the new school year, while also addressing vacancies created by staff departures over the summer. 2. Approved contract recommendations for August 14, 2025. The board approved the issuance of teaching contracts for the 2025-2026 school year to fill two instructional vacancies. The new hires include Ashley Grantham, teacher, Jada Parham, teacher. Both positions are expected to help address staffing needs in core academic areas as the district works to maintain low student-to-teacher ratios and ensure coverage for all scheduled classes. The contracts take effect immediately, allowing the new teachers to begin work during the opening weeks of the school year. N. Adjournment.